My name is Dr. Sipora Katz. My story is a story of hope, a story about overcoming the odds and learning to trust again. It's about learning to find love, especially love for myself. It's also about learning that everyone has their own story. Some stories are dark and terrifying, while others are uplifting. It's part of what we all call life, that strange journey that may or may not hold deeper meaning. I'd like to believe it holds leagues of meaning, layers of meaning, each filled with their own stories and textures and songs. I also dream. I didn't always dream. There was a time when I was scared all the time. Then one day, everything changed. That day was May 16th, 1992. That was the last time someone hit me in anger or violence. The events prior to that day, however compelling or moving, are not the focus of my story. That was the past, a part of what helped me become who I am today, but not how I define myself in the present tense. That was the day I said no more. There are choices to be made, and the choice I am making now is to break the cycle. This is the story about going from a college dropout to a PhD. To frame my story, we need to look at a little bit of my history. My first marriage was on a fast track to divorce when I met a man who was witty, charming. He was a musician, with just a hint of being a bad boy. I was smitten. Soon after, we started living together with my daughter, who wasn't quite 2 years old yet. No one gets into a relationship thinking, "This is going to be awesome. I can hardly wait for the abuse to begin." It wasn't like that. It was slow and subtle. It wasn't daily or even weekly. I know I should have run at the first signs, I suppose, and people always asked me why I remained. The reason was simple. Where else could I go? I had a toddler, no job. Who would want me? And my abuser reinforced this over and over. "You're fat. You're ugly. You're stupid." Soon after, I became pregnant, and I thought maybe that since I was carrying his child, the nightmare would end. It didn't. We did carve out a life for ourselves as traveling folk musicians and storytellers. We toured the country and lived in a van for 4 years. I didn't notice that I was completely isolated from a support network. I never really noticed how horrible it was, because on a day-to-day basis, it wasn't. The road was open, the national parks exquisite, the fans adoring. We were poor, but I didn't care about that. I suppose if you do notice, you die. Oh, wait. I was becoming increasingly suicidal as time went on. The adventure of living on the road was waning, and my tolerance for soup made out of hot water, ketchup, and crackers had lost their sense of righteousness. I was tired, and I had gained so much weight, I didn't know who I was when I saw my reflection in the mirror. That day in May changed everything, and I spent the next few years trying to find a sense of self and balance. During those years, I did remarry, but in the end, we divorced. The real story began in 1992. That was when I realized that being abused is not a way to live one's life, that raising two children in a van, no home base, no real support network for any of us, was insane. What I didn't know at the time was how much my children were also being abused. Life back then was just trying to survive. We all did, but not without paying a price. The scars are still there. Memories creep up from unexpected corners. Old tapes play in the background for days on end and then vanish for months. Equilibrium is not easy to find. You want to forget the pain, but you also know the pain is what tempered you, coaxing you into action. You no longer feel the anger, but the memory of it lingers, sometimes more vivid than the reality you lived. The most challenging part of my journey centers on two important words, forgiveness and trust. Many people said that I must learn to forgive my abuser and trust people. Well, forgiveness is important, but I had to find a way to forgive myself first. For not being present as a mother, for not being present as a friend. And when my children disclosed that they had also been abused, I had to learn to deal with the guilt I felt for not being able to protect them. My children, now amazing adults, did have the capacity to forgive me, a gift that I'm still learning to accept. Trust is equally hard. I know that growing up as I did in Brooklyn, you learn to be a cynic of sorts. Now, some people take offers of help and support with a grain of salt. I have an entire salt lick. It's really hard to build friendships or professional relationships with that salt lick in your way. Eventually, I did learn to trust. But each new person, it's like going back to square one, and the process must repeat itself. It's the only way I know how to feel safe, and it's exhausting. And then there are those pesky tapes that play out in my head. You're fat, you're ugly, you're stupid. Each new person makes me wonder if that's how they see me. I'm constantly trying to prove my worth to everyone around me. It's beyond exhausting and deteriorates any sense of self-worth. I do have good days when I do know that I'm worthy, that I'm a good person with so much love to share, and I cherish those moments. Learning to forgive myself and trust my own judgment have been hard lessons. Even now, 27 years later, I still struggle. There are still days when I don't trust myself, and I fall into a depression. And the smallest thing can trigger a CPTSD episode. Or worse. I cannot speak for anyone other than myself, but I can say with confidence that the journey back took at least 1 year for every year I lived with abuse. Pete Seeger said in a letter to Eve, "If you want to have a great love, you've got to have a great anger." And boy, do you ever live in anger for a long time. Some of it is self-directed. You ask yourself, "How did I let that happen? What's wrong with me?" You ask the universe, "Why did you let this happen?" You point fingers. You look for places to blame. You become crazy as you seek your sanity. And your life moves forward, and the part of the past does fade into the background. Then, unexpectedly, my past and present collided. On March 25th, 2014, my abuser was arrested in New Orleans on multiple counts of child pornography. A part of me was stunned. A part felt vindicated, because when I left him, I wasn't believed by many in my spiritual community. Many fair-weathered friends called me colorful and interesting names. Still, after the arrest, I reached out to offer support to what I now imagined were other victims in my estranged community. I did what I could to support them. For my efforts, I found myself sued twice, once in family court and once in civil court, for defamation of character. The civil case dragged on for years, up until the end of his trial that began on April 4th, 2017. Somehow, the ADA had arranged for my children to testify to establish a pattern of behavior. I was prepped to testify as well, but in the end, I was called as a witness for the defense. On April 6th, I entered the courtroom and was sworn in. The defense attorney tried to unseat me. He tried to rile me and get me to shout or break down. I did not let that happen. I looked at the jury. I looked at the ADA. And I looked at my friends who had come to support us. I looked anywhere but at my abuser. My past life was dragged through the mud along with my youthful mistakes. I felt naked and vulnerable, but I answered his questions with as much calm as I could muster. I owned my past mistakes and made no excuses for them. I pointed out that once I had broken free, I did all I could to provide a stable and secure home for my children. How I tried to set an example for them by returning to school to earn a college degree and ending up 7 years later with a doctorate. I looked at the jury and I told them what I tell my students. We are the sum total of our past and the promise of our future. What are you promising yourself? The torture on the stand lasted for an hour. In the end, it took 3 hours for the jury to return with a guilty verdict. My abuser was sentenced to 20 years in prison. I am now secure in the knowledge that he cannot harm anyone else. I am secure in knowing that the tapes are becoming worn out and are losing their power to control my life. I am secure in knowing that the nightmare is truly over, and my journey is now centered on learning to forgive and trust. Thank you.